Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, artists, marketers, entrepreneurs, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to create community, connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today I have with me Robin Galliano, who I met in a group run by one of my colleagues, Beth Gray, called Practicing the Power of Intention, Practicing the Power of Eight Loving Intentions, which if you are at all interested in having a daily meditation, which is quite profound, that is a great group to sign up for and make those daily meditation calls. Robin, you and your husband, who is a veteran, have recently started a new company called Journey to Gratitude. If you wouldn't mind, and you are also a Reiki master as well, so if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit how you came to energy work and how that energy work in your life with your husband led to Journey to Gratitude.
Sure. So probably about a year and a half ago, me and my husband Paul started on this spiritual journey. We had a lot of anxiety, stress, finding out where we really stood, what our purpose was. We seemed to start this journey together on different paths, but at the same time. So in the practicing in the past year or so, for me with the Reiki, I really connected. I've always felt energy. I've always had a connection to that. Mm-hmm. And so I felt a very strong pull for healing. Mm-hmm. So I went on that journey. My husband, Paul, felt that strong pull to heal as well. We saw a lot in the world that scared us. And we know right. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done out there. So the journey actually started with that. Mm-hmm. I went on my path to be a Reiki master. And my husband is currently in a shaman class to become a shaman healer. So the start of this really started with us wanting to heal and to help people heal as well. So we looked into doing that, but it evolved. And what it evolved to is the Journey to Gratitude organization, mm-hmm. which it is still in the infant stages. We're really at the very beginning creating how we want this to look. So we want it to be programs that are going to help people in need in the community, mm-hmm. help people heal. The criteria for that isn't exactly there yet. As we see needs, we're going to develop that more. Mm-hmm. Because we do want to have a lot of programs where we help people. One of the main programs, though, that we're really working for, as you said, Paul's a vet. He was in the Navy for 6 years, and it has always been a passion of him to help vets and to help homeless vets. And yeah. he just didn't know, he knows there's a need, but he just wasn't sure how he wanted to go about that. So in talking about that a lot, we came up with a community we'd like to develop. So we want to start a community for homeless vets. You know, tiny houses, they're all the rage. So yes. That was our thought at first, was tiny house community. It's going to be something similar to that. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to have a building with a bed. It's a great need. It's wonderful that there are mm-hmm. homeless shelters out there for people who need them. But that really wasn't what we wanted. We wanted something to connect more. We wanted the vets to be able to connect with each other. We wanted it to really be a community. So what we're looking to do is to have a campground, so to speak, community with gardens, community kitchen, where everybody is growing the food, teaching, you know, having classes on nutrition, on whole foods, having everybody kind of chip in and all learn from each other, interview classes, close for interviews, just an array of things that are going to help them get back on their feet and whatever they may need. And of course, in that, energy healing will be offered as well. So it's at the very beginning stages. Mm-hmm. And so right now we're just working on what our plan's going to be, how we're going to get that started, and then where we're going to get donors for, because that's the major project. Mm-hmm. There are going to be little things that we'll be doing with the organization, you know, throughout the year on top of that, but that's the main one that we really want to get people involved with, to be able to help.
Awesome. I would highly suggest, with such a noble project, that you consider GoFundMe, because I know that I would definitely donate to that GoFundMe project.
Yeah, we're looking GoFundMe. We had to get all the filing in before we could do websites with donation buttons and all that. So we've just finished all the filing. Gotcha. I did before I retired, I worked 10 years at the American Heart Association.
Oh, so you got a whole bunch of nonprofit background. Great.
Yes. So that's, I think, you know, Paul's going to divert that to me as the getting sponsors and donors. and so now that we have all the paperwork and everything started, we're going to start the donation process.
That's fantastic. I love the idea of taking homeless vets back to a nature setting, because I know that having, you know, gotten sober in a homeless program,
right,
and worked at the VA, what often happens is you have these street to home programs that come through and you end up with veterans who aren't ready to be in a home by themselves yet. They haven't really done that interpersonal work to be prepared to live on their own, and all kinds of disaster happens for them, the property that they're in, and their own mental health. So
absolutely.
I love the idea of taking people back to nature, because there's so much healing that can happen in a natural setting. So I just love that.
There absolutely is. And I felt very strongly that we didn't want it to just be, here's your bed for a night, you're warm.
Yeah.
And then not have any kind of healing with that. Because it's such a need.
It really is.
I think that getting back to nature, learning to work together, and I think that's so helpful. So
really
helpful.
Is. In fact, for me, the getting into a homeless program and getting sober was just the funnel that led me to the energetic healing and nature and going back to ancient, you know, religious practices and spiritual practices.
Right.
That it's actually, if you provide the latter first, the former isn't nearly as much of an issue.
Right. So we're hoping that it can bring people some hope.
Yeah, and which is so important.
Yes, because I think that if you don't have that, it doesn't matter if you have a bed. You need more than that. And you need that community and I think people who also know what you're going through.
Yeah.
Who are on the same page, who can work together.
Very true. Because in homelessness, a lot of the time people, they make the mistake of thinking that people that are homeless, it was something that befell them. And there were a lot of people that I knew before I got sober, myself included, who enjoyed being homeless, because a lot of us were getting money from the VA. We were veterans. We didn't have any bills to pay. We didn't have anything to be responsible for. We had money coming in. I could live on the beach. I could hang out wherever I wanted to. The VA made everything possible for me to come take a shower, for me to get new clothes. So why would one reinvest into society if it's so simple and carefree to remain homeless? So I just love this idea of creating a community around which that positive energy is healing is happening, because we make communities on the streets really well.
Oh.
But they tend to be those communities where it's like, yeah, we're never getting out of here. This sucks. You know, it's not an uplifting community.
Right. And that's what we want. We want that uplifting. We want that community where everybody is working together because they want a better life. They want to be able to move forward and to get the help that they need. And I think if we have that community, it's not that I can live on the beach, I don't have any responsibility. You are going to, I'm sure, have people who come and are not going to want to help with the garden and do all that. That's going to happen.
I'm glad you see that coming.
Oh, gosh, yes.
It's a great idea. Please keep going. I'm loving it.
No, I was just for the ones that do want to move forward and just can't. We want to get them the help that they need. And I know that one of the things that is incredibly frustrating with the mental health system, the VA, nothing's quick, for a lack of better word. Nothing.
No, it is not.
Is fast, and so you're looking at months out to see counselors, you're looking at months out for appointments, and they all have, I think they have their best intentions, but the system's broken.
Yeah, it is.
And so when you have vets who are on the street and in need of those services, they're lost.
They really are.
And we'd like to find a place, we'd like to have a place where they can be found and where they can feel that they're getting the help they need, but they can also feel that they're a part of that community, that they're putting forth with that as well.
That's really and powerful.
It's a process that I wish it was further along. I'm very, we're both very excited about it, but of course it takes time. It takes time. And so that's part of with the interview too. I'm like, we don't have everything up yet, but we're getting there. I mean, we've got the Facebook page, we've done the paperwork, and the donations are going to be the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
So we're going to be starting the GoFundMe. We'll have that link on the Facebook page. And then we're also going to have our website should be up soon. And then we'll have donations there as well.
I just love the holistic approach, because as you mentioned with the mental health care system and the VA, the majority of veterans get driven towards medication rather than towards health. And even if you are in a position where right now that is something that you need to be able to be stable and to be a member of society, just teaching the nutrition and growing your own food to counteract the effect that those medications have on your body can make all the difference in the world for someone.
Well, absolutely. And I think that there's also a lot of vets out there. I mean, obviously there are some, but I think there's a lot out there who don't know that holistic approach. They only know the medications. They only know you have an appointment once a week for talk therapy and here's your meds. And it doesn't work all the time. That doesn't. And if they don't have the knowledge that there's something else out there, that the food they eat so much affects how they feel, how they think, and learning all that, I think is information that they can take with them for the rest of their lives, which will benefit them and the people within their lives.
That's so true. I know that when I first got sober and went on to psychiatric medications and was trying to find some semblance of balance in my life because of the foods that I was eating it, you know, like Jack in the Box every day and coming home. The interaction of those processed foods and those medications can actually mimic the very symptoms that you're attempting to eliminate with the medication. So that results in you going back to your doctor over and over again and saying this isn't working, and the doctor keeps dumping a higher dose of what essentially I feel are poisons into your body. Because you have the poisons in your body, you're eating more. And then because you're eating more, you have the same bad reactions, and it becomes this downward spiral into, I wish I had the picture of me that I could show you. Right before I went off of my psychiatric medications, I weigh about twice as much, or at least that's what it looks like, as I do right now. My skin is yellow. My eyes are puffy. My face is so dead. Like there's nobody there. And all of that entire combination was so incredibly hard on my body, and that path of beginning to take better care of my body and changing my diet and getting off of the medications and finding alternate ways to deal with my PTSD, like yoga and meditation, really made, I mean, it was almost more of a transformation for me than the initially getting sober and having a house and a place to live.
Yeah. And I think the problem is that, like I said, so many vets only know the medication route.
Yeah. We don't have any skills.
No, there's no knowledge. And to the VA's credit, they are starting. They're trying, because I know that here in New York, there's two VAs that are starting to offer Reiki. And I was, fantastic. I'm like, really? This is awesome. Yeah. And so I think they're trying. But like I said, the system is not, they don't have enough people to help.
No, and there's so much bureaucracy that it just absolutely chokes the system with paperwork and requirements. And one of the things that was always hardest for me about that, as a veteran who had been through that lifestyle and then started working for the VA, was the congressional liaison for the Los Angeles VA. And you have these congressional representatives who pass the very laws that are causing the complication that send their own constituents to the VA, who has to operate by the laws they pass to answer these veterans as to why it was taking so long. And it's like, you guys are the ones that are passing these ridiculous laws. Most of you have never set foot in a hospital. You have no healthcare background. And yet you're setting these ridiculous benchmarks for people who are on the front line of care. Now they have to sacrifice the quality of care in order to make your ridiculous benchmarks. And then when they don't, who gets blown up in the news? The VA. Not the very representatives who created the problem in the first place.
Right, exactly.
And that's infuriating to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is very difficult not being able to see the problems that they have and not being able to fix them.
Yeah.
And not having them have another option. And I think that's a lot of what really hit home for Paul was he wanted them to have another option. He wants to help them and he sees that the system's broken.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously as a small organization, it's starting out small. We can only help so many, but we're hoping that it will grow, because we really want them to be able to have some other alternative than just going to the VA and hurry up and wait.
Because that, even as the, I mean, I've seen VAs that are now beginning to prescribe marijuana in exchange, mm-hmm. you know, in place of psychiatric medications. I see VAs that are doing acupuncture and mm-hmm. massage and Tai Chi and all the, especially the ones on the, you know, the really crunchy West Coast. But even getting to that, like, that's not something that, it's not like a drop-in class where any veteran can come in. There's still all of these benchmarks and paperwork that you have to fill out. And it's like, if you're really just going to provide this to a veteran, just offer it. Just tell them. Yes. And that's so, and then the other part is that the voluntary services within the VA gets ridiculous. And a lot of it, again, comes from congressional representatives and senators who are passing ridiculous, you know, benchmarks and and just strenuous around what they can do. Yes. Right. And then you have people in the community who want with all of their hearts to come in and donate time doing Reiki, who want to come in and donate time doing massage, doing acupuncture, doing Tai Chi, doing all of these different courses, meditations. And they're getting turned aside by the VA because they don't meet this ridiculous set of qualifications that our politicians have set for who can actually provide care to the veterans, who, by the way, are homeless and getting high. How could he make that any worse?
Right, because Reiki is going to mess it all up.
That's going to be the destruction of everything, that damn Reiki.
Gotta have certain certifications. and that's part also is looking for volunteers. And we know so many people within our, you know, our circle who want to be out there helping, who want to do something and are just looking.
Yeah.
Just looking for somewhere that they can help.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm hoping with also in addition to the community, we want to do other projects. We want to get out there in the community. We want to find the need, see what we can do to help, but we also want to teach people gratitude.
Yeah.
And living a grateful life. And yeah. It really has, in the past year and a half, that is one thing that Paul and I really have really come into, is the gratitude for everything. That's the good, right? And the bad, you know. And as you know, with Beth, she did the gratitude 28-day challenge.
Yeah.
And it really can change your whole perspective.
It does.
And so we really want to inspire people to have that gratitude.
Yes.
And to pass that gratitude on and show other people. And so hopefully, you know, with the programs that we come up with, we can do that. I wish I had more programs to say we have to do that.
You know what? It's better to say that we're just starting up and we're trying to figure it out and draw mm-hmm. a community that can help you shape what it is that you want to provide than coming up with 101 different programs and finding out that most of them don't apply to your community.
Well, exactly. And that's what we want to do. We want to be really diligent and specific on what we want.
Yeah,
we really want to do the research, really figure out what's out there and make sure that it's not 100 things and then checking them off as they don't work.
Yeah, because that can be really demoralizing for you. You know,
absolutely.
That didn't work. And then pretty soon it's like, well, holy crap, can I do anything right. to help people?
What is going to work? And the nice thing is we are in New York in the summer and in Carolina in the winter. So we do want to incorporate, yeah, it's pretty nice. We want to incorporate the organization into both communities.
Yeah. And it's, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so we've got to find out what the need is there and what the need is here.
And they're going to be different.
Oh, totally different. Yeah.
I just love the idea because there are so many, and I believe I was discussing this on yesterday's session. There are so many research studies now that are showing that the basis for addiction really is a lack of connection to community.
Oh.
So being able to, a lot of diseases actually, even so far as a portion of the cause of diabetes being that we turn to foods that are not healthy for us as a result of a lack of human connection. So this idea of creating communities that work together to address their own unique needs rather than mm-hmm. you know, you worked for the American Heart Association, you can't apply the same marketing, you can't apply the same programs, you can't apply the same ideas to all 50 different states. I mean,
right.
Each state has different dietary habits, they have different belief systems, they have different religious involvement, they have different mm-hmm. people. So I love the idea that you're creating two different communal ideas for two different states.
Yeah, and I think the community, honestly, I think it's been lost. It's
yes.
been lost. There is not that sense of community that mm-hmm. there was. And I'll say, you know, I'll take the 70s when I was growing up. You know, I grew up on a street where all the parents knew each other. They all got together. It was a community. They all helped each other.
Yeah.
But you don't see that as much. You really don't. And I think that needs to be brought back.
The funny thing about that is Brené Brown recently wrote a really incredible book called Braving the Wilderness, The Search for True Belonging.
Okay.
And one of the pieces of information that she provides is that in the 1970s, there was a substantially lower amount of counties. I believe it was somewhere in the range of 27% of the United States counties were a landslide in the presidential election, which means that more people lived next to people who didn't agree with them politically. And as of 2016, in that election, 61% of our counties were landslide counties. In other words, overwhelmingly, 60% or more of the county voted for the same president, which indicates that we are living closer and closer to people who believe politically exactly as we do, while touting tolerance and diversity as the way that we should live, and yet we are less tolerant of each other. We live in echo chamber communities.
Mm-hmm.
We have no happiness. We don't have the ability to connect those people in our community. And all of this has been done while saying that we are progressing socially. And it's right. just like, where is the progression in that?
There's no progression. There's degression.
I know. And we love to pat ourselves on the back. Like, we're so tolerant. Oh. We stand up for the little guy, but we have no tolerance at home.
Well, and that things have changed, that we're in a world of accepting, and we're in a world of, I have seen the least acceptance in my lifetime is right now.
People literally need safe spaces if they encounter someone who doesn't agree with them. And that's because we're living in these echo chamber communities where we're not brought up with opposing ideas. We're brought up with everyone agrees with us. And then our whole reality just gets shaken when somebody's like, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, you like implode. You're like, what? I don't understand.
It does not compute.
Right, right. And I think that that's why also you need those communities where you have those different experiences and those yeah. those different viewpoints, but you work together.
And respectfully. I think,
yes, respectfully. And you can have a different opinion and not hate that person.
Oh my gosh.
You can just say you have a different opinion.
Because it's a huge red flag when you have a member of your community who just gives constantly to their community and that same community rejects them because of an idea that they have.
Yes.
That's a huge red flag about our society when you're not judged by the content of what you bring and contribute to your community. You're judged by the ideas that you hold in your head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's profoundly scary.
Oh, very scary. Very scary. And I think we need to start one by one changing that.
Yes, absolutely.
And talking.
Absolutely. And this entire organization that you guys are putting together, especially coupled with that underlying understanding of community is the answer, is really, I believe, going to make a profound change in New York.
And we're hoping so. We're hoping so.
I'm really, really proud of you guys.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. Truly appreciate that.
Well, we are at the end of our half hour, which always seems to go okay. by so fast for me. I just want to take a moment to recognize some of our viewers. Beth was on with us. Andrea. Hey, Karen. I just want to let you know that if you do come by and see this video after we are no longer live, drop us a hashtag replay. Let us know that you were here. And if you like what you heard about Journey to Gratitude and you'd like more information or you would like to connect with Paul and Robin, their Facebook page is tagged here in this Facebook Live. Contact them. Find out how you can help them create this, what you can give, and how you can show up in your own individual communities and be present in a way that is more than just being a keyboard warrior online.
Yes.
So again, Robin, thank you so much for joining me, my love.
Thank you, Sharon.
And give Paul my love as well. To our viewers, thank you so much. As always, you guys know I love you. We'll be here, same place, same time tomorrow. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.